Hi. Did you hear what Donald Trump said? You know who Donald Trump is? Did you hear what he said yesterday? Oh, my God. He said that Jews, the Jewish people, now Trump's making entire statements about the entire Jewish religion. He said that if you're Jewish, he said that if you vote Democratic, then you're uninformed or unknowledgeable, and you're being disloyal if you're Jewish and you vote Democratic. Oh, my God. What he's really saying is, which he actually doubled down on, was if you don't vote for him, and he actually said those words, if you don't vote for him, then you're being disloyal if you're a Jew, because Trump likes Israel. So now I'm being disloyal to Donald Trump because I would vote Democratic, which would be against him because I'm a Jew? Wow. That's just weird. That's unforgivable. There's something wrong with you. Then he went on to say, he was like spewing all this crap all over the White House lawn. It's unbelievable to reporters. And then he went on to say, this is unbelievable. He said that the Jewish people consider him to be the second coming and the chosen one. Oh, now he's got a God complex. Like, I didn't know this, but he's actually saying it. First of all, Donald, I truly don't believe that the Jewish people consider you to be the chosen one. They more consider you to be the one that should be committed, the committed one. That's A. Oh, man. B is that most Jewish people, as I have heard and researched to some extent, most Jewish people vote Democratic anyway. This man's lost it. He's lost it. I don't know why anybody backs him at this point. I mean, I do, but you got to be embarrassed about it at the very least. Can't you read the sign?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Okay, look, I promise I won't be talking about Trump anymore during this particular episode. I get a lot of comments from listeners, regular listeners, who say, Ron, you spend a lot of time talking about Trump. What, you don't like him? No, I kind of don't. But you got to excuse me, because if someone waves a bag of crap in front of your face, you got to do something about it. You don't stick your tongue out and take a lick. I mean, seriously, you shove that sucker as far away as possible, and that's kind of what I'm doing. But I won't talk about him anymore on the show. Apologize. Sorry to apologize. Some people listen to this show to escape reality. So let's run away from it then. Here we go. I went into a cocktail lounge yesterday. I don't call them bars because that's too pedestrian. I call them cocktail lounges. At least if you're going to have an alcoholic beverage, go into a place that seems like by name, at least it has a little more class than that. So I go to a cocktail lounge. It's like I should be wearing an ascot or something. You don't even know what that is, do you? So I go to a cocktail lounge and I got to tell you, I go in there to refresh myself, to have a little refreshment, like a horse goes to a watering trough when it gets hot outside. Similar kind of situation. But I got to tell you, when I have an alcoholic beverage, I always have it with water. My drink of choice is Absolut, which is vodka, with water. And so, you know, that's cool. I'm not down in shots or anything, or Long Island iced teas. Where did that come from? Long Island iced tea like sounds like such an innocent drink. I'd like an iced tea from Long Island, please. Some ice cubes and I just want iced tea. That's all I want is iced tea. Well, in Long Island, we put alcohol in that. No, I just want iced tea from Long Island. Long Island iced tea. Do you know what Long Island iced tea is? They put every single conceivable alcohol derivative in that drink. It's loaded with vodka, gin, brandy, whiskey, cognac, everything they can possibly find that comes in a bottle from a liquor store, they put in this drink, and then they call it, it's just iced tea. No, it's not. It's not just iced tea. What a stupid name for a drink. It's like, shh, don't tell anybody. There's alcohol in this iced tea. Well, you're in Long Island. What do you expect? Anyway, it gives Long Island a real bad name, doesn't it? Hey, you want some milk? From Long Island? Oh, no, I can't handle that. So I have Absolut and water. I water everything down because, you know, I like to keep my sanity to me and I like to be a little bit refreshed. And besides, my doctor says that I should drink a lot of water to stay hydrated. So I'm just doing what my doctor tells me to do. That's all. It's water, which is flavored with a little vodka. What's your problem? Here's a problem with that. I go into this particular location because I know some of the people there. And I walk in, and they recognize me by name, which is already a problem. It's not a good reputation to walk into an establishment that serves alcohol and everybody knows you. It just doesn't feel right to me. It says something that you don't want to be said. That's problem number one. Problem number two is the bartender, a very nice girl, very, very nice girl. I sit down at the bar and she says, "Hi, Ron, do you want the usual?" Oh, God, that's... Yes, but that just sounds also very wrong. The usual, that's too familiar. I'm sorry. We don't identify people, but I know she's trying to be very customer service oriented and very friendly. But somehow when a bartender says, "You're going to have the usual," that means you drink that all the time. It just sounds like you live there. It's not good. It's not good. Anyway, I think we all do it. It's a part of life. That's what we do on the weekends, right? We work all week. And then what do on Friday night and over the weekend? We crack open a beer. Alcohol seems to be this country's and many other countries' symbol for, okay, now I can relax. It is. Just crack open a beer? Crack it open? Oh, man. What's wrong with us? Let's personalize it. What's wrong with you? How about that? All right, fine, wonderful. I was talking to somebody yesterday who used to smoke cigarettes. Apparently, he chain smoked like a chain, like the links in a chain. It was like cigarette after cigarette after cigarette. And when I was growing up, smoking was something that everybody did. As a matter of fact, if you didn't smoke, there was something wrong with you. Like, what, are you not cool? That was the big thing. To smoke was to be cool. Now, if you smoke, you're an idiot. If you don't smoke, you're cool. Whoa, I'm confused now. Yeah, when I was growing up, when I was just a little tater tot, you could smoke in restaurants. You would have your dinner, sit back, light up a cigarette at the restaurant table, and you would have a smoke. And the person next to you was still eating their chicken. It was kind of disgusting, but everybody smoked, so you weren't offending that many people. If you went to a cocktail lounge, you could smoke while you drank. That was a good thing. If you're going to kill yourself, if you're going to destroy your liver, let's go for every organ, you know? Let's go for the lungs, too. What the hell at that point? And you could smoke in movie theaters. Oh, my God, you could smoke. You could enjoy a movie and smoke at the same time. You could get on an airplane, that tiny little tube with wings on it. You could get in an airplane and smoke on the plane. Can you imagine if you didn't smoke, you were allergic to smoke? Tough crap to you. You could smoke everywhere. Women who were pregnant, buy cartons of cigarettes. It doesn't matter. Nobody knew that that was bad for you. We all had a feeling, but nah, not really. The government supplied cigarettes to soldiers, supplied them with it. In the thought that smoking a cigarette would relax the soldier and relieve the stress. Oh my God. We know so differently now, because now we have pictures of lungs. After one smoked, you can see the difference, and it's not. I guess they didn't have pictures of lungs back then. But here's the most fascinating thing about the smoking cigarette phenomenon socially. And this was amazing. At one point, people started saying, you've got to stop the cigarette smoke. I don't mind if you smoke, but you got to separate smokers from non-smokers, especially in restaurants. We're trying to enjoy our chicken. So here's what restaurants did, and it's so freaking funny. It's just crazy. Restaurants would have a smoking section, but the smoking section was not a separate room. It was just the left-hand side of the restaurant. It wasn't even a wall. It was just from this table on, you can smoke. From this table on, you can't smoke. And it was like the smoke had an imaginary line. So you could be sitting in the part of the restaurant where it's non-smoking, and next to you, the next table is smoking. And for some reason, I'm safe in the non-smoking area, even though the next table they're smoking. But that's the line. That's the line. And we bought it, and we said, oh, okay, thank you. Like, if one part of the restaurant was like smoking and the other part was non-smoking, okay, now we're safe. What do you do, stupid? How stupid were people back then? I think that they were just upset about annoying smokers. It's like pharmaceutical companies. You didn't mess with the cigarette companies. They were huge. They were like cell phone companies. You don't mess with them because everybody smoked back then. You don't mess with that. They were powerful, like the NRA was. They were powerful. Don't mess with the cigarette companies. But then lawsuits started. Oh, the lawsuits. And that started changing the atmosphere pretty much. When a bunch of lawyers got together and said, let's start making money off of people dying from cigarettes. Okay. Do we care about people dying? No, but we can make some money by lawsuits here. And that's what they did. And all of a sudden, as we sit here today, smoking is like, if you see somebody smoking a cigarette, it's like, look at those evil people. What the hell's wrong with them? Don't they know that they're just killing themselves? Did you know that every cigarette that you smoke is equal to jumping out of a plane blindfolded with no parachute? No. Well, it's true. When you see somebody smoking, what's your immediate reaction? Oh, those poor people. They don't realize they won't be along. No, they're not going to see their children graduate. No way. Which is kind of true. Kind of true. Certainly ain't going to have a high quality of life. Now, there are some people that smoke cigarettes their whole life, and they make it all the way up to 90, 95. Those are strange superhuman people. And I don't think that they breathe very well. Sure, you can live to 100, but you're going to have breathing apparatus all over the place. So no. But that was the way they treated smoking. Things have changed. See, we grew up as far as that was concerned. But then we got into something about 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And I don't know where it came from, but all of a sudden everybody said to themselves, I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. We're in the I don't care anymore generation. We're screwed anyway. What the hell's the difference? I don't care anymore. So what they did was they started getting into vaping and e-cigarettes. So now you can smoke, still destroy your lungs, still get emphysema, but without the tar. Although there's other stuff in the smoke that can equally be as damaging as anything else. So people are smoking again, man. Now they're vaping. Now it's called vaping. They might as well build a store and just put cigarettes on it and sell cigarettes, because it's really no different. And if you think it is, you probably aren't being intelligent enough to check this out. You don't want to take smoke into your body, into your lung area, and hold it there. And then it's just probably not a great idea. Out of all the ideas, it's not a great one. Then we said with marijuana, well, look, we got drinking. People take drugs. We might as well legalize marijuana. Because as we all know, marijuana makes you high to the point where your reaction time is dismal. It makes you feel like you never want to get up from your chair unless it's to reach for a bag of Doritos. So let's legalize that. Okay, what the hell? It doesn't matter anymore. Right? Even Donald Trump, I talked about this a few days ago, even Donald Trump, he latched onto that. He actually, in his campaign in 2016, and we talked about this, he said, vote for me. Vote for me. What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? What kind of campaign slogan is that? Yeah, what do you got to lose? Things are so fucked up. Nothing's going to happen. So what the hell? Wow. We're in such a dismal place. You need somebody to come along and say, look, this is all crap, man. You got to have hope. You got to have vision. At least you got to get your spirit together and, you know, do things united. You just need one of those people to show up. But now this country is in a slump. Because nobody, look who you put in the White House and what he's doing and what he's saying every day and how he's desensitizing your morality. And we just stand there and go, oh, that's interesting. Ooh, I'm angry. Ooh, I'm angry. Come on. Wow, it's with us. What's with us? We all gave up. We all gave up. We're not incensed about anything anymore. The planet is being destroyed. You know it. If you don't admit it, then it's because you're too scared to admit it. We're not making this place any better. We're making it worse, gradually, now more acceleratedly. On 60 Minutes, did you watch 60 Minutes last Sunday, man? They did a thing on plastics in the ocean. Oh, my God. Did you know how... Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. We invented plastic. It was a wonderful invention. You know, for everything you invent, you pay the price later on. Ooh, I didn't think that would be a problem. Yeah, you invented plastics. What a wonderful idea. Do you realize plastics just never deteriorate and they get into your drinking water and everything and the oceans and they kill fish and fish eat the little piece of micro pieces of plastic that break down but that never goes anywhere and they eat and we got to eat fish. Now we're going to not have fish to eat and all that kind of. Oh, my God, what did we do with the plastic? We're killing this planet left and right. No matter how you turn, we're just killing this place, and we have nowhere else to go. It's like not like you can just get in a car and go to Jersey. Oh, man. So things are a little, you know, like not too hopeful. You need somebody to come down off that mountain, and it ain't Trump. It's the... Here's something I'm going to say that you're not going to like. In the religious writings, they speak of an Antichrist. And you always thought, well, that's just a concept. I didn't know that one could move into the White House with that attitude. I didn't know that. But apparently you can. All right, we do have a guest today, believe it or not. And we're going to talk to that guest after this short word. Thank you for hanging in there. I really, you know, you're really important to me. I don't even know who you are, but you're really important. Do you like beer? It's almost time to crack open a beer for the weekend.
When you reach for a beer, what are you looking for? The finest malts, grains, and hops? An artisan ale that represents a modern take on traditional brewing techniques that master brewers have refined and treasured for years? A true beer drinking experience? Or, like most of us, are you just looking to get fucked up on the cheap? Well, if you're like the rest of us, congratulations, your beer is here. It's Fockenhalter. It's not a great beer. It's not even a good beer. It's a beer that's $4 a case, and it's strong enough to melt the chrome off a trailer hitch. So kiss your liver goodbye and say hello to Fockenhalter. It's beer.
Doug Marshall joins us. He's written a book called Mastering the Art of Commercial Real Estate Investing. It's how to successfully build wealth and grow some great income from your rental properties. You've been doing this for 35 years, I understand.
I have been. I started back in the early 80s. Wow. The financial analyst and went from there.
Amazing thing is, Doug's only 38 years old, so it started very early. Okay. A lot of people think about this and discuss it, but they don't really go into it. Is the housing market indeed a good investment?
Well, it is. I generally am on the multifamily side. I'm not on the single family side, mm-hmm. but the primary reason why people think about it and don't do anything is fear. You know, it's really, they have the financial resources to do it, Ron, mm-hmm. and they also have the knowledge, or enough knowledge to proceed. But most people have a real concern with the fear of failure.
Yeah.
And you need to get over that particular mindset.
Interesting. I would assume that what you do with multifamily is a fairly safe market because everybody has to live somewhere no matter what the economy dishes out. Is it the same in commercial real estate, or is indeed residential a little safer?
Well, when I use the word for commercial real estate, I'm saying anything that's an income producing property.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I really think of multifamily and office, retail, and industrial the same way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess you have to have an education in how to do this. You can't just walk into it and say, I'll figure it out.
That's true. But you can learn kind of through the school of hard knocks. And a lot of people start off with just a duplex or a triplex is mm-hmm. the first investment they have. And they move up from there and they can... I've known a lot of people over the years, Ron, that's what they did, and they have retired very successfully, very well financially by sure. starting off very small.
I would assume so, but I believe that people probably do make mistakes, and you do outline in your book some of those guidelines and some of those mistakes that people do make in this field and how to avoid them.
Yes, and there's a variety of different mistakes that people make. They make it on the financing side, or they can make it on the property management side. But on financing, usually the biggest mistake that most people make is that they go back to an existing lender that they've done business with in the past without uh-huh. checking out what other lenders can offer.
I see.
And many times you can get a much better deal if you shop the market.
In doing apartments, a multifamily, et cetera, is it wise to hire somebody to manage that, or is that something that is manageable by the individual, by the investor themselves?
Well, it really that's a good question. It depends on the personality bent of the investor himself. Uh-huh. I managed apartments in a former life back in the uh-huh. the late 80s and early 90s, uh-huh. and it was the longest few years of my life doing my own managing of my own properties. And so I would highly recommend that you find a professional who does that on a regular basis instead of trying to do it yourself. But then there are other people that really are hands-on, and they enjoy the interaction and the fixing up of rental properties. I'm not one of those, but there are people out there that really floats their boat. Okay. So this depends on the person.
In the older days, when we were kids, they used to have things called superintendents in the building, and they would live either rent-free or at a great discount. And they would actually have a love of the building because they actually had a connection to it and lived there. That seemed like a pretty plausible deal.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent way of doing it. And I'm in the Pacific Northwest in Portland, and in apartments, many times, say that the apartment is 20 units and larger, you have on-site managers that get free rent for doing the work of keeping the property maintained and occupied.
Yeah, I mean, they seem pretty proud of what they do, actually, when they do have a connection to the building themselves. But I guess that depends on various levels of and how much you're actually involved in there. Well, one of the things I was most concerned about when I was thinking about it was, would it be more costly to maintain to standard all the time than it would be otherwise if I didn't get into it at all?
Say that again. Maintain standard?
I would assume that in every town there'd be a standard building, you know, the standard that you have to keep the facility to a certain standard because you have other people living there who are paying rent. So the standard level might be higher than in my own house, where I don't have to replace the roof right now. I can live with it, you know, at my own liability.
I understand.
Yeah. But when there's other people living in the building, it's different set of standards, I guess.
Yes. And what really, there is no, I don't think there's any, policing standards so much as there is, does the tenant want to live in your building?
Yes.
And if your property is well-maintained, they want to live in your building. And if the property is in excellent condition, they may pay a premium to live there. So that's really the standard that you need to make sure that you're living up.
I guess the other fear of people moving into a property that you own would be getting rid of them if it doesn't seem to work out.
That is correct. And you need to have certain standards that you keep that are posted and as to the do's and don'ts that if you have people that continue to violate them, they understand that the eviction is the alternative.
Yeah. Well, on the flip side of all my concern questions, I do know people who are doing extremely well, some not only to supplement their income, but actually do very well with it. So there is a side of it that is quite attractive.
Absolutely. I believe that that owning commercial real estate, again, it could be apartments, it could be office retail, is the surest way to achieving financial freedom. Mm-hmm. Because through your properties, you generate passive income. Mm-hmm. And from passive income, you can live comfortably.
Yeah.
And over time, that passive income can grow so that when you're your total sources of passive income consistently and significantly exceed your monthly personal expenses.
Yes.
When that day happens, Ron, you can retire. And that's the neat thing about owning real estate. Real estate is hands down the best source of passive income that you can invest in.
Yeah. It always seems to go up in value if you don't go crazy buying and selling and buying and selling. It seems like it always does go up, but someone in your position might be doing a lot of buying and selling. I don't know.
Well, first of all, I would disagree. But, okay. Real estate can go down as well. All you got to think of is back during the Great Recession, you know, people had that mantra that, real estate never goes down. And
right.
It does.
Right.
But the real important thing about real estate is to not over leverage it. If you can buy a property, keep it modestly leveraged so that when the downturn does happen, and you haven't over leveraged the property, it still breaks even. as far as cash flow is concerned during the difficult times. And then when the market turns, you generate a positive passive income. That's great. And that's the best of both worlds.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, but it's like the stock market. If you hold on to it, it does. I mean, everybody's home went down in 2008, 2009. Now it's twice as much. So, right. And it's the same property. So, you know, well, this book answers those questions, and it, if you're thinking of it at all or looking for a way to make extra income, and, this is an interesting book. It's Mastering the Art of Commercial Real Estate Investing. Doug Marshall, who's kind of has been doing it for a long time and knows probably more than you do about it. So it's all answered there. Is there a website we can visit?
Yes, you can go to my website, which is my last name, Marshall, MarshallCF.com.
Perfect.
And there's, it'd be a great place to start.
Okay, and the book's available, certainly the information on that through the website. Is it Amazon, all that stuff?
Yes, it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Powell's, and a number of other online and on actual brick-and-mortar stores as well.
Beautiful. He's Doug Marshall, Mastering the Art of Commercial Real Estate Investing. Answers all the questions, becomes the Bible of that particular subject. So thank you so much, Doug. Good talking to you.
Well, thank you, Ron, for having me on your show.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, that's enough. I've had it. That's enough. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Are you going to join me then? It's okay. It'll be all right. Yeah. Tomorrow will be better. Until then, I wish you peace. You be careful now. You be careful. It's crazy out there. You gotta stay on your toes. You gotta be aware. You gotta have eyes in the back of your head, which is difficult because you got hair there. Some of us do. Some of us don't. Be observant. Listen to what goes on. Be smart. And don't smoke. I wish you peace.